This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You are listening to Love in the 21st Century. We are on every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m., hosted tonight by myself, Tamara Wickma. Love in the 21st Century is a talk show with live call-ins, interviews, and discussions on the philosophical to practical look of love, from romantic relationships to connection with humanity. One-third dating insights, one-third self-love guide, one-third compassion training. And happy new year to all you folks out there. It's now January 3rd, 3 days into this calendar year, and it's looking rainy outside, but it's looking bright for our future, you know, keeping our love in our hearts and our perspectives broad and open to the possibilities that are really out there. And so I'm going to start off this hour with some beautiful music by Bob Marley, One Love. I watched an amazing documentary last night about Bob Marley's life and the truth that he brought to so many people, and so I just want to share a bit of that with you. I learned so much about Bob Marley and his interracial family and the offerings he brought to Jamaica and to the world, and continues to bring to this world through his music. So here's a little Bob for you, One Love. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Old Cold Creek Inn in Mount Shasta. The Cold Creek Inn features views of the surrounding snow-capped mountain, free high-speed Wi-Fi, and organic in-room coffee, offering guest rooms with single bed to family suites that sleep up to 8. Conveniently located downtown Mount Shasta near the Siskiyou Ice Rink, and only 10 miles from Mount Shasta Ski Park, the Cold Creek Inn can be reached by calling 800-292-9421 and at coldcreekinn.com.
TPP is approved. This is Jim Hightower saying, join the grassroots coalition fighting TPP. Go to StopTPP.org.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. I am Tammy. I am joined by Julian and Emily Rose.
Hi.
Waiting. And we are going to continue on our dialogue about self-love, and I'm so excited about this evening. We have Sonia Sophia on the line, and she's going to be rocking our world talking about emotional freedom technique, educating some people out there to what this experience is, and we're going to have a live experience of it on the air as well. But first, we're going to get some credit and some listening to Mom Muse in, you know, in honor of this glorious day we're having here in Chico. So, here we are.
Nothing better than a friend. Oh.
Street. Oh, what a day.
What a day.
Oh, yes. Bitter patter, falling rain, I can't believe. All that's green is up its leaves. Singing in the water, come on in. We've been waiting all these days.
What a glorious day it is here in Chico. So, Miss Sonia Sophia is on the line. Can you hear us there?
Yeah. Hi, Tammy. Good to hear you.
Yes. Good to hear you, too. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. And you are in Austin, Texas, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. So, we got some remote call here. We got representing in two places right now. So we're going to dive right in. I want to let people know that this is a call-in radio show, so at any time, if you have some questions, give us a call, 895-1114, and we'll do our best to get you in on conversation. We only got 25 minutes and counting now, but please, will you give us the download on what emotional freedom technique is, what we're talking about?
Yeah, it's a really simple, self-led, marine-based self-healing tool. And what I mean by that is that you're actually stimulating the same meridians that acupuncturists would stick a needle in to help adjust the energy flow in your body. But instead of using a needle or tapping on yourself on the same meridian points with your fingers, while you're accessing whatever's stressing to you, say you're, you know, looking in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you feel sad or you feel unlovable, this is something that you actually physically do to address those feelings, to create a rapid release of those negative feelings and to reprogram your mind to see yourself in a positive light. And really, I would say it's the practice of unconditional love meets a version of modern psychology mixed with meridian-based Chinese medicine. It's combined into one thing, and it works really well, and it's very empowering because it's something people can do for themselves.
Do you know about how long that this practice has been around and how it's been growing recently?
It's been around for a little over 20 years. I caught onto it about 10 years ago when it was really just getting to gain traction, and it's become extremely popular, partially because it's so effective, partially because it's self-directed, and you don't really need someone else to do it with you or for you, although it is nice to be guided because your brain tends to not want to go where it doesn't want to go, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really nice to have some guidance, but it's something that you can do like in your car or while you're stepping at work, or you can excuse yourself from the family dinner and go into the bathroom and tap on your body and say some words to yourself and take a few breaths and come back out with your peace and your balance and able to actually enjoy, not just fake it, you know, through the conversation.
I just want to clarify one thing that you said, that your brain tends to not want to go places it does want to go. So you're talking about sort of like programming that we have, like habitual program that we kind of have the same auto response and not wanting to go back to these. It's hard to change those things. That's, you know, they call it programming. You have to,
right.
Being led helps to get past that point.
Yeah. You can call it programming, you can call it cultural conditioning, you can call it the shock and trauma of living on Earth in a society that's gotten some pretty crazy things to work through. And I think we're all in a process of recovering our peace and recovering who we really are from a lot of layers of what we learned at school, what we might have picked up in churches or synagogues that maybe didn't work for who we really are, things we picked up from our parents, you know, different generations that had different ways of being and thinking and imparted those same ideas to their kids.
So, hi, Sonia. Emily Rose here. I have a question about emotional freedom technique. You said something about it tapping into meridians like acupuncture, and I know that acupuncture works on a physical level, you know, as well as an emotional level.
Mm-hmm.
Things. Does the EFT work also on physical levels, or is it mostly centered around emotion, considering it's called emotional freedom technique?
Right. EFT works on all of those levels. What's really exciting is that at Tiny Thought, well, we're just doing tapping is the name for it. We're just doing tapping to release emotional stress and impact. But what happens is that when your body releases the emotion, it changes the chemical signals in your brain, which then tell your cells and the receptor sites on your cells how to react and interact differently with your perception of reality. So people literally can reduce physical pain in their body by reducing emotional pain. People have spontaneous healing from things that don't seem to be technically able to be healed, that modern medicine doesn't have an answer for. People are using this technique along with other things, but people have no idea how much their thoughts and their feelings and their memories play a part in physical health, as well as the way people interact with you. So I know it sounds too good to be true. I thought on top of my head, and I think to myself that everything changes, but yeah, it does.
Can I ask a question here? You actually referred to, like, you know, as EFT as something separate in modern medicine, but you know, you also mentioned that it's been around 20 years. Would you think that EFT could be considered a modern medicine in a way?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, there's some insurance companies right now that are really looking at providing coverage for people, just like they started to provide coverage for massage therapists or even acupuncture because it's saving them money with company doctor visits and prescription drugs. I think it's the cutting edge of modern medicine. It's energy medicine. When you realize how much control your thoughts and feelings over your physical body, definitely a medicine for the time.
Do you believe the world is ready for postmodern medicine?
Yes.
I'm deeply invested in knowing and believing and practicing that we are all ready to learn how to heal ourselves and to find the most simple and elegant and organic and effective quick means that we possibly can to do that.
Absolutely. I do want to get to talking about the World Tapping Circle here in a moment, but I also want to let our listeners know that the reason we chose to start with the emotional self when we're talking about self-love is because it's, you know, one of the highly neglected things in our programming, in our social lives. We're sort of, you know, taught to show up and not be concerned with how, you know, how our day got or how our day was until we got where we're working or, you know, showing up for other people. And so, you know, it's highly important to honor this aspect of ourself that, you know, the association with the meridians that you're talking about, like that's our limbic system, that is our immune system that we are tapping on essentially. And you know, we don't make those associations with our own bodies and how much you're saying how much control, you know, our thoughts, you know, what our brain is actually activating in our bodies when having, you know, these stressful experiences in traffic where it's sitting there like, God, I'm so frustrated. It's just charging your body with this energy. And how when you're taking control of those thoughts and taking control of your emotional state of mind, how it can revolutionize your world.
It's true, and tapping seems to release lots of oxytocin as part of the chemical. And oxytocin reduces stress, reduces symptoms of PTSD, reduces, it actually creates pleasure in your body. It's the same thing that happens when you have an orgasm. It's the chemical that a baby makes inside the mother to tell the mother when it's time to go into birth. It's the love hormone. It's what you get when you touch someone, you cuddle, you skin-to-skin contact, you are caressing, eye contact, empathy, dancing, singing, pretty much everything that feels good is going to release oxytocin, and I think that's part of why it works on physical levels so well.
Well, I heard that we're going to be doing some tapping studio.
Yes.
Today with our videos.
It's true. It's because you said the word orgasm. I'm just kidding.
She's totally not.
Do you want to segue now and talk about the World Tapping Circle before we get into the actual tapping?
Sure. If it's a point you just talked about self-love and how difficult it is to find that for ourselves, we're sort of trained to look out and give love to the world, and then hopefully someone will love us back, and then we'll get our validation, our self-love, and our self-esteem from the outside, but it doesn't really work that way. And part of what EFT does is it trains you to go into empathy and forgiveness and love and acceptance for yourself automatically, which counterbalances the tendency to go into self-judgment, criticism, yourself that you're dumb or stupid or whatever people do. It's a way to train your mind to create the opposite experience for yourself, which actually changes the chemistry in your brain for your hypothalamus, and then your cells get used to that new chemistry and they function better. So what I did after years of practicing tapping with myself, I did Lichiko for a while, and probably many of your listeners who saw my Facebook post about this today are listening going, oh, we need to come to her house and do this, you know. But my living room couldn't hold as many people as I knew who needed it, and eventually I realized that I wasn't going to really be satisfied with my service to the world until I made a room that was infinitely big and made tapping something that people could afford and that they wouldn't have to struggle to come out and find or get. And so I created, after raising about $300,000, about 2.5 years of solid work on this, a way to do that. And it's we launched about 8 months ago. And there's people from all over the world, some of them in Chico, who come to this virtual room online, and we do a live broadcast every Monday, and then it's videoed and archived, so money isn't an excuse anymore, because it's super cheap, and time isn't an excuse, because it's always available in the video library, and people can begin the sorting and to find ways to get into their own brains and dump love into these places full of fear and anger and frustration and pain. And what that does is when that part of your brain meets empathy and love while you're stimulating the meridians, it changes. It permanently changes the way your brain functions, which changes the way you feel and the way you talk and the way you act and the way you accept opportunities. And the life that you believe you can have becomes the life that you do have. So I'm super excited about that, and want to invite you all to try it. I gave it a free week button on the website, so you can't really tell me that you don't have access, because I even give you a week for free, because I want people to know how to love and respect and forgive themselves, because when we do the culture, it changes. But when we do it as individuals, it changes our culture, and it changes our world. And our world made up of people, and when people learn to love themselves, we have a world full of love.
Absolutely, indeed we do. I'm excited listening to you. And I do want to mention a couple things. A couple callers, they're calling on the other line, which is not the line that gets them on air, but they did want to let us know that, you know, that self-love is our is a natural state of being, and also that we do not want to, if you want to practice self-love, practice, you know, doing unto others as you want unto yourself. So don't go out there and, you know, be saying things, thinking things, or doing things to people that you yourself would not be able to have done to you, you know? So those are some pretty good words of wisdom.
Yeah, and I would say the converse of that is true. I actually think people are nicer to other people than they are to themselves.
Yes.
Right? So treat yourself the way you would want someone to treat you.
Yes.
I think people often inadvertently do people how they want to be treated. Actually, and you know, it comes around full circle to the, you know, self-love. You know, people don't believe in themselves and put other people down because they don't believe in themselves. You know, it's cyclic. So let's do some tapping, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, sorry, I just swallowed some tea the wrong way.
Yes, we love and accept you.
What's the meridian for joking?
I just want to add to that. They treat people the way they think they should be treated. I don't think anyone wants to be abused, but our nervous systems get conditioned because we've experienced much. We inadvertently let people know, hey, kick me, I'm used to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. Yeah. So, okay, let's do some tapping. I'll talk to this. So, everyone find your collarbones and drop your fingers down in the collarbones and press around in the front of your chest until you find kind of a sore spot in front of the chest and breathe. Give that place a little massage. This part helps open your brain to accept the session. Because there's a part of you right now that might be running scared, going, I don't want self-love, and another part going, I really need self-love.
That's so how I feel right now.
Mm-hmm. And it can make you a little anxious. You know, they're turning on the lights and those little cockroaches are going, I don't know where I'm going to live. What comes in here? So, massaging there, and I'm going to let you tune into where you're withholding love from yourself. Is it around your physical body, the way you look? Is it around your level of achievement? Is it around, you know, how desirable you feel in a relationship? Is it, you know, where do you hate on yourself? And so just for fun, during this session, think about where you want to aim this self-love. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So massaging these points. So when I say this issue, you're all going to think individually. You don't have to say your issue out loud. You're going to think about what that is to you and see if we can actually get some shit in the short time that we have. So I'm going to ask you to tap where I tell you to tap and repeat after me. And if the words don't exactly fit, you alter them either out loud or in your mind until it fits your scenario. Okay?
Got it.
All right, massaging your chest. Big deep breath. Big sigh. Big noisy open jaw sigh. Good. Say, even though I withhold love from myself here.
Even though I withhold love from myself here.
Then everyone think about where you're withholding it. Big breath. I'm open to loving and accepting myself.
I'm open to loving and accepting myself.
Good. Now, with one or two hands, I want you to tap the beginning of your eyebrow, right where your eyebrow starts. Okay, gently tapping. I'm withholding love from myself here.
I'm holding up for myself here.
And it makes me feel what? How does it make you feel to hold up in yourself there? It
makes me feel not loved.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
Maybe angry. Sad, yeah.
Cloudy.
Mm-hmm. Now take those fingers and slide down your eyebrows to the edge of your temple, right at the edge of your eye socket, and gently tap there. Even though I withhold love from myself here, and think about where that is again, and breathe. Now tap the front of your cheekbones, and it makes me feel, and then just blurt out that feeling. It makes me feel how?
Sad.
Anxious.
Confused.
Tap under your nose, above your lip. I'm open to loving and accepting myself.
I'm open to loving and accepting myself.
Tap under the lips. Here's something different about EFT. We're not going to positive think our way through this. We're actually just going to admit exactly what we're thinking and how we're feeling. And by doing that, we're bringing gentle acceptance there. And that actually dissolves the mechanism that forces us to keep thinking that way.
Mm.
Okay, so you're not driving the pattern deeper when you're tapping and you're going, I think this way. It's actually bringing love and empathy to that place that feels dark and unlovable. Okay, so now tapping down from the chin to the chest, the front of the chest, tap in a circle. Even though I've been withholding love from myself here for a long time.
Even though I've been withholding myself, love myself for a long time.
In an effort to what? Why are you withholding love from yourself there?
Not to prove I'm strong enough.
Mm. Okay.
Fear.
Uh-huh. Mm. Sometimes people also do it in an effort to make themselves do better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Like somehow withholding love is going to improve the situation.
Right.
Challenge myself.
Yes.
Challenge myself. Okay. Tap the bottom of the front of your rib cage where you really got the most in front. A couple of bones right there at the beginning of your rib cage. Big deep breath, big sigh. Okay. Now I want you to tap the side of your rib cage. It's nipple height side seam of the body. If you guys, girls, are wearing bras, that's where your bra cup goes across. On the side of your body. You can cross your arms and tap, or you can tap at the back of your knuckles and say, I learned to withhold love from myself.
I learned to withhold love from myself.
When I was how old in this area?
When I was 11.
Big, deep breath. Okay, are you starting to feel some changes inside yourself right now?
Yeah, I'm feeling positive.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Now take your fingers and tap the inside of your wrist on your wrist bone. If you move your hand up and down, you feel a bone moving up and down on the pinky side of the wrist. So, tapping on that wrist bone and say, I'm open to loving and accepting myself.
I am open to loving and accepting myself.
Even though?
Even though.
Part of me withholds love from myself.
Part of me withholds love from myself.
Big deep breath, big noisy sigh. Tap the side of your thumb on the side of your thumbnail. So put your hand like you're going to karate chop something. You're tapping just the edge of your thumb. Even though I learned to do this as a child.
Even though I learned to do this as a child.
I love and forgive myself.
I love and forgive myself.
So tap the index finger in the same place, side of the finger, edge of the fingernail, and breathe. Back the middle finger. I picked this pattern up from where or who?
I picked this pattern up from my society. Mom.
From society, from my mom. Mm. Check in and see. Is there someone in your family that did the same thing to themselves in the exact same kind of way?
Mm.
Okay. Okay, here we go. So now we're down at the root of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tap the bottom of your fourth finger, so you're going to change sides. So you're going to tap the edge of your finger closest to your little finger, but still at the tip, at the side of the fingernail. And each one of these points does something different to the energy flow in the body. You're basically giving yourself a bath of energy on the inside, flushing your system to your limbic system and stimulating the energy to flow directly in your body. Okay. I'm open to forgiving, and then just say who or where you think you picked this up. I'm open to forgiving my mom, for example.
I'm open to forgiving my mom for sharing this programming.
Okay. Tap your little finger. Let's say that again because it feels so good. Tap your little finger back to the original side of your pinky finger up by the fingernail. I'm open to forgiving, too.
I'm open to forgiving my mom.
My dad.
Now tap the side of your hand where you would karate chop something. I love and accept myself.
I love and accept myself.
Even though I picked this up from, say, who picked it up from again?
Even though I picked it up from my mom.
And I've been holding on to this family tradition.
And I've been holding on to this family tradition.
Take a deep breath. Do you feel some changes in your physical body?
I'm feeling lighter all around that subject in general. And, it's really inspired by this, you know, just acknowledging that emotional patterning that's been going on is there, and to do the work to move it out of the way.
That's right. This is the era of doing our inner work.
Down with that. I'm down with that cause.
Yeah, and I really want to make it fun and easy and freely available so that everyone can be like, yeah, I love doing my inner work. That's cool. I like talking real to myself. I like doing good. I like having self-respect.
You know, we only got like a minute left of the show here. I want to sneak a quick question in before we cut to our last music. Is that right?
Sure.
While we were doing that, I couldn't help but feel that this process would be really effective for like kindergarten and first grade and like small children, romper room style. Like, what? Yep. Real briefly, what's your experience with teaching children this?
Kids are really fast at doing it. They're very easy because the trauma is less accumulated. They get it. They love to feel good. They're willing to try anything. They're not embarrassed about how it looks. I want to see this taught in elementary schools and in kindergarten. We got to start with the adult children, though, right? The people who grew up with their minds and brains kind of got stunted somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So I figure if we see us tapping, laughing, loving ourselves, they'll pick it right up, and we'll do a trauma thing for our children. We're healthier adults.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Sonia Sophia, for making the time for us tonight, and I invite all of our listeners to check out Sonia Sophia online, www.soniasophia.us, and learn about the World Tapping Circle. She is definitely making herself a resource. She is a gem amongst people. So thanks so much, Sonia, and
thank
we
you,
hope.
Sonia. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We look
thank
forward
you
to
so much.
Talking to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. So now we are going to segue here to. Thanks for listening, Love in the 21st Century. Here we are. And that was a show with Sonia Sophia, herself, love segments that we did back when Julian and Emily Rose were on the show. Oh, so much love to those folks, sending it out to them. They were a pleasure to host with. And, you know, they were just reliable. They were here, and it was always fun. It was an entertaining time that we got to spend together each week. So Sonia Sophia is still doing her work, still weaving her magic of the emotional freedom technique, I believe now from London, but doing it internationally through the airwaves, through the internet, and traveling to festivals and doing workshops. So definitely still check her out. Sonia Sophia is her name, and you can Google that, Sonia Sophia, and you will find lots of resources. But right now, we have Rain in studio, and she is an organizer of an event that's coming up on January 21st. It is Women's March on Chico, I believe, but I'm going to let her correct me if I'm wrong. Thanks so much, Rain, for joining.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what is the name of the event that's coming up?
Well, the event I'm going to talk about is the Women's March on Chico, which is in solidarity with the Women's March on Washington, D.C., on January 21st, which is the day after the inauguration. And the big march is happening in Washington, D.C., but there are solidarity marches happening all over the country, including here in Chico.
Fantastic. So can you maybe say some of the other places that are also having solidarity marches that you know about?
Big cities all over the country, specifically in California. We're the farthest north in California that's having one. There isn't at the Capitol in Sacramento. There's several in the Bay Area and in Southern California. They're really happening all over.
Fantastic. January 21st, what is the premise behind the march?
Well, in answer to that, I would love to read the mission statement from the National March organizers. And it reads, we stand together in solidarity with our partners and children for the protection of our rights, our safety, our health, and our families, recognizing that our vibrant and diverse communities are the strength of our country. The rhetoric of the past election cycle has insulted, demonized, and threatened many of us, immigrants of all statuses, Muslims, and those of diverse religious faiths, people who identify as LGBTQIA, Native people, Black and brown people, people with disabilities, survivors of sexual assault, and our communities are scared. We are confronted with the question of how to move forward in the face of national and international concern and fear. In the spirit of democracy and honoring the champions of human rights, dignity, and justice, who have come before us, we join in diversity to show our presence in numbers too great to ignore. The Women's March on Washington will send a bold message to our new government on their first day in office and to the world that women's rights are human rights. We stand together recognizing that defending the most marginalized among us is defending all of us. We support the advocacy and resistance movements that reflect our multiple and intersecting identities. We call on all defenders of human rights to join us. This march is the first step towards unifying our communities, grounded in new relationships, to create change from the grassroots level up. We will not rest until women have parity and equity at all levels of leadership in society. We work peacefully while recognizing there is no true peace without justice and equity for all.
Fantastic. So there, I mean, I know that we were briefly just talking about it. There are several different relations that are being a part of organizing this event in Chico. Are there any ones that you can maybe mention on the radio here that have been intricately involved in the process?
As far as the organizing team goes, we are a grassroots group that has emerged for this specific event. And, you know, we are creating partnership with many and people in the organizing team, you know, are members of and representative of many local organizations and groups. At this point, we're not ready to release specifically who speakers are, you know, or entirely that kind of information. But we'll have people representing all different groups in the community, and we focus on centering the most marginalized among us, as is said in the national mission statement as well. And certainly, you know, bringing in the piece of, you know, reproductive rights has been a huge issue, and of course, is a women's rights issue. And is under attack by the incoming administration, but also many other things like LGBTQ rights. You know, our incoming vice president said that he wanted to divert me from HIV and AIDS support to gay conversion therapy. So, we as a, you know, as people are on attack from many, many fronts and many different demographics.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we really want to hold that intersectional piece that women belong, you know, women are leading this, and women belong to many intersecting identities that are marginalized in addition to being women. So people of color, people with disabilities, queer and trans people, you know, all these different identities, people have intersecting identities, and we want to honor and represent that in our event and show as a community, like the folks in D.C., that, you know, we will rise up as communities to support in the face of hate and discrimination and prejudice and all those things.
Absolutely. Good causes to be raising up against. Is there some more details about the event that would help people that are listening to get involved?
Yes, absolutely. So the event itself is on January 21st, which is the day after inauguration. We are having people gather at the plaza at 10 a.m., the Chico City Plaza at 10 a.m. Then we'll have a march, and then we'll have a rally back at the plaza starting at noon. The rally will be from noon to 3:30 with a wide variety of speakers as well as organizations tabling. We have a Facebook event page for Women's March on Chico, if you want to get more information that way. Also, we have an email address, chicowomenmarch@gmail.com. And if we also have set up through the North Valley Community Foundation the ability to take donations for the event. So if you go to nvcf.org and search for Women's March on Chico, you'll be able to give donations to help the event happen. And that's the main nuts and bolts of it. We're hoping people show up, you know, on January 21st, as many people as possible. And if you want to get involved, you want to table or something like that, you can go ahead, message us on Facebook or the email, chicowomenmarch@gmail.com.
Are there other ways that people can be supportive in the process before January 21st? If they're maybe not, they're not interested in tabling, but they are desirous of being involved somehow in helping it take place or to promote the event, is there something specific that they could do?
Folks who want to volunteer can go ahead and email us, and maybe in email mention any specific skills that you bring to the table that you're offering.
Great. And so once again, you said there's an event on Facebook.
Yeah.
So what's the name of the event?
Women's March on Chico.
Women's March on Chico on Facebook. And if people are not Facebook users,
we have the email chicowomenmarch@gmail.com.
Perfect. So there's multiple ways. And is there any, I know that we have listeners out there that do not do computers. So is there any organizations that are, that would be okay to mention that are involved?
Yeah, I mean, well, we've been having our meetings generally at the Chico Oakland Justice Center. So if, you know, somebody doesn't do computers and they wanted to reach out to us through the center,
they could stop by the Chico Peace and Justice Center and find out about Women's March on Chico, which is January 21st. And I'm imagining that's got to be a Saturday.
It is.
Okay, because you said 10 a.m. So 10 a.m. and it all begins in the plaza. Show up and march for a couple hours, rally at noon till 3, and there will be speakers. I'm sure it's going to be thought-provoking, meaningful, and inspiring sharings of what you can do, what you can all do to represent for not only women, but of all people here in this country and abroad. Because, I mean, realistically, this affects all of us. This new electoral representation affects all of us. So even if you're a guy and you're out there and you're wondering, what's my role in this? Show up, support the Women's March on Chico on January 21st. Find out more information by the Facebook page or going to the Chico Peace and Justice Center. Hoping to have more of the speakers join us here as a event coalesce, and we know who's going to be there. So stay tuned. We'll have some folks here talking to us about why they're involved. And before I let you go, Rain, of course, I have to ask you that question. What inside of you is inspired to be a part of this gathering?
Well, I'm an activist by nature, and it's kind of what gives me life. Mm-hmm. And keeps me going. Mm-hmm. And this is one of many things that I'm involved in. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's important, especially in this hostile climate of the incoming administration, to have these large collective actions where we're unified in solidarity all across the country, people sending, you know, a similar message. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's really great that Chico is having a solidarity march like this and that we continue to organize beyond this day. That's also a really important thing. There are many organizations in our community that do work around empowering and raising up the voices of marginalized folks, and it's important to connect with those groups and organizations and continue to do this work, not just on this one day.
Fantastic. And like you said, I mean, this is going to be happening for the state, for the nation, so it's a real opportunity to feel connected to a greater community that is working for the common good. So show up and have your voice be heard, be a part of the movement. Thank you so much, Rain, for joining me. Is there anything else you want to let us know before you go?
I think that's it. Thank you.
Great. Absolutely. Thanks for coming. And yes, I'm excited to have you and whoever else decides to talk more about the Women's March on Chico January 21st more on the show so that people can learn more about it. It's a powerful time that we're living in, and it's more powerful the more we stand up. So be a part of the movement. Women's March on Chico. Women's March on Chico. So stay tuned for that event coming up soon. It's going to be thought-provoking, meaningful, and hopefully changing. That's what the goal is for, right? To actively change the world that we're living in.
With a few choice words about the nonstop madcap craziness finally reaching its red and green crescendo. Don't know if it had anything to do with those shaking, democracy-twisting events of November 8th. It seems like people were extra special, amplified, crazy this year. So while we salute all you stalwart conservatives for navigating those demolition derby parking lots in the honorable quest of sinking heavily into debt to celebrate the birth of that Jewish hippie kid, let's also offer up Will Durst's 2016 Christmas gift wish list. These are the presents that folks presumably did not receive, but most certainly deserved. For Vladimir Putin, one of those extra-long telescoping leashes to control his new pet. For Donald Trump, who is proud of setting anything that flies into his head, a tiny, rabid West African hummingbird. For the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, a whip and a chair for when he has to deal with the executive branch. For Ronald McDonald, an extended vacation until the creepy clown sightings subside, hopefully after 4 years. For Melania Trump, a couple of gray hairs to give her some gravitas. For Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the finest healthcare available. For Anthony Weiner, a one-way ticket to a deserted South Sea island populated mostly by poisonous snakes and omnivorous snails. For Roger Ailes, an appointment for the same counseling group, now attended by Bill Cosby. For Elizabeth Warren, portable Klieg lights to stay front and center for the next 4 years. For the new host of Celebrity Apprentice, Arnold Schwarzenegger, his own kill phrase, something like, "You won't be bought." And finally, for the American public, a case of antacid for each of us to get through the first term of the 45th president, as the heartless pummel the spineless, cheered on by the clueless. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
All right, love in the 21st century. We're talking about self-love, talking about love of our country, talking about women standing up. It's so important to recognize our voice and remember how powerful we actually are. It's so interesting how often and so frequently we forget that. We kind of just like, oh, I'm just going to blend in with the crowd and just be like everybody else. But the reality is, you know, on this TED Talk the other day, is that the possibility of you or I being born in the bodies that we've been born in is literally like 1 in 400 trillion. 1 in 400 trillion. Let's let that idea sink in a little bit. So sometimes we're sitting and listening to radio shows such as this one, watching television or talking to our friends. It's so easy to just want to like bend into the crowd or just, you know, think like, what difference does my voice make? What difference does it matter if I show to the rally on January 21st. Well, it matters so much. Your voice, your thoughts, your ideas are so powerful. Literally, you are 1 in 400 trillion. The possibilities, science has crunched the numbers and figured out the odds of each of us, you, I, Rain, every other person in this world, the possibility of us being born. And that's what they say, 1 in 400 trillion possibility of us being born. So all those amazing, crazy, random, strange ideas you have are yours to share the world. So show up, participate, be a person in this world working for change and meet other people that are doing it. You know, so many of us are looking for that support or feeling alone. Like, oh, am I the only person with these crazy, strange ideas and wanting to talk about love in the 21st century on the radio? Actually, I'm not. So just reach out and think about the possibility if you show up. This is just my encouraging speech to you all to be active participants in this world and also to show up on January 21st. And I'm going to segue here and talk about somebody that inspires me. So I've just recently turned on to her. Her name is Alexi Panos. She is a motivational speaker and has a nonprofit in Africa and is doing amazing work on a large scale. And she is talking about how to take care of ourselves. And really, it goes back to the original topic that we started this hour with, which is self-care. How do we take better care of ourselves so that we can show up better in the world? Because often we think, I got to do everything. I got to do it all. But in reality, it takes all of us. If we all just did a little bit, how much easier it would be. We don't have to do everything. We just have to show up and do our part. And we need to encourage people around us to remember that's all we have to do too. And if all we have to do is just that little bit, we can get a lot more done together. So I'm going to share something with you from Alexi Panos. She explains why we should put ourselves before our work. So listen here. Thanks for tuning in to Love in the 21st Century.
I wish I knew how valuable the art of asking was. I think for so long, still, I'm plagued by the story that I can do everything. Oh, I got it. Because it's half, I don't ask for help because I don't want to be turned down. And half, well, I like how I do it and I know that I do it with excellence and I know I can get it done in a lot of time. It's half efficiency, really. But that being said, I'm realizing the art of asking doesn't necessarily mean asking for thousands of dollars in donations for my nonprofit, but it means asking for support, asking for help, asking my partner, hey, I'm really busy this week. Can you take on my responsibilities for this week with a nonprofit, and I'll get you whatever you need it. Sure. Or asking my fiance, hey, babe, I've got a really busy day. Can you support me with some of the housework today? Sure. Just asking for support. Like, I don't have to do it all by myself. And that, if I knew that 10 years ago, I probably would have done a lot more. I think, again, I had this story of I can do it all, and I got a lot done by myself. But when you go as a team, you just create way more in the world. And it's a constant practice in humility as well, which I like, challenges me. Balance is something that I feel like is a continuous journey for me. Because I have so much energy, I'm really driven by nature, and I love what I do. It's almost like I can't get enough of it. It's like being in a relationship with someone that you love so much, just the same all the time. That's how I feel about my work, you know, and it sounds so weird, but I actually really love what I do. I wake up, I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to create, excited to do interviews. I'm excited to, however I need to get the message out. Yes. But I also find that my self-care tends to not necessarily take a back seat, but get the shaft, you know, comes last in everything. It's like everything that I need to do for my mission first and then self-care last. What I'm realizing in the last year or so is yes, it's not about me, the messenger, but it is about the messenger being a clear vessel and having that energy sustained in order to deliver my message. So I have to take care of myself. I have to eat right. I have to get sleep. I have to meditate. I have to read and do the things that fill me up, because it makes me a better person. It makes me a better messenger to share the message. And if I'm cutting myself short, then I'm cutting the world short of what I'm capable of giving. The toughest thing is doing something that's not normal. Like, I know what I do right now is not considered normal. I've taken a lot of risks. I've invested a lot of my own time and my money. And a lot of my friends are like, oh, are you sure you want to do this? My parents, well, you were doing really well at this and you were making six figures. Are you sure you want to quit all that and start your own thing? Yeah, I do. You know, I have to. And dedicating myself to that commitment and making that declaration, I believe that the universe, God, whatever, just clears the path and says, okay, you're ready, because you're not one foot in, one foot out anymore. And I played that game for a long time, too. I was still doing this while I was, like, bootstrapping this, and that's fine. But when I said, okay, I'm all in, everything was like, here you go. You're now ready.
Thank you for watching A Wise Way. Subscribe, stay updated, share to pass the knowledge, or view our other videos on the left.
So that is A Wise Way with Alexi Panos. And as I mentioned before, she's a very motivational speaker. She has a nonprofit and she's doing amazing work internationally. Someone to stay tuned with, someone to be aware of what they're doing. And just to help you stay on your own path, one of the most powerful things for me is to listen to those who inspire and motivate me to do bigger and better things. Sometimes it gets really easy to fall into the trap of, well, I can't do that, or I don't know anybody that's doing that. You know, with the advent of the internet, there's nothing that really stops us anymore. There's no reason to not be inspired or not to be motivated. Just, you know, for those of us that use the computer and internet or go to the library or have friends that have it, can search inspiring talks on YouTube and you will find so much. I'm going to leave you with this one before Ecotopia starts up next. Ecotopia, tomorrow Tuesday from 6 to 7 with Stephen and Susan Schutte. They discuss environmental issues with nationally renowned authors and activists. Ecotalk, your local link to a global network of folks who know and care about the health of our planet. Stay tuned for that. This is one more with Alexi Panos. How to have what you desire. The law of expectancy. So important.
What is up, my beautiful, amazing tribe of Transformers? Guys, after you're done watching this video, go to alexipanos.com and enter email, because I give away awesome information every week only from there. All right, on to story time. So I read the study that was done in Japan on 13 students. They blindfold these students, sit them down, and have them put out both of their arms. On their right arm, they rub a harmless plant and tell them, your arm is being rubbed with poison ivy. On their left arm, they rub poison ivy and say it's a harmless plant. Get what happens? Their right arm, where it was a harmless plant but they thought it was poison ivy, created the result of poison ivy. Rashes, itchiness, bumps, gross.
Wow.
On this arm, where they thought they were being rubbed with a harmless plant but it was actually poison ivy, only 2 out of 15 had a reaction. Guys, this is incredible, because when you get this, you get everything. See, we all know we're creators in love. But before creation is expectancy. So the law of expectation works like this. What you expect, you create. What you create is your reality. Ooh, expectation is everything. Perfect example of this. At this beach, Main Beach, Byron Bay, Australia, we were surfing. Six pan, beautiful sunset surf. I was doing okay, a new surfer. And sure enough, I get pounded by this wave. Like, thrash, and I lose control of my board and I get hit by my fin right here, and instantly it blew up. It was like gash right here, and it got black and blue, and it was huge. It hurt so bad I couldn't even bend it. I couldn't even do that. No pressure on it, right? But I knew that we'd be surfing the next day. So while I knew I had to nurse it that night, I went to bed expecting that in the morning it's gonna be fine. Sure enough, less than 12 hours later, we go for a morning surf, break dawn, and my wrist is perfect. Stronger than ever, I catch back-to-back waves, and my wrist, although still black and blue, although still hurting, I expected it to be fine while surfing, and it was. So guys, where are you using the law of expectancy in your life? Because when you expect something to be easy, it's easy, right? If you expect it to be hard, it's hard. If you expect it to go wrong, it will. If you expect it to go right, well, hey, life is good.
So where are you expecting things to go wrong in your life? I have so many friends and family members that expect that money's always going to be tight. And guess what? It is. I have friends who always expect men to cheat on them and do them wrong. And guess what? They do. I have friends that have businesses that are brilliant, but they expect it to be hard. They expect things to go wrong, and it does. But then I have friends who expect the best, and they get the best. They expect money to flow to them. They expect clients to fall from the sky. They expect life to be easy. They expect people to love and appreciate and respect them. And it happens. I know it sounds crazy, but we're that powerful. We're actually that powerful. So I implore you guys, next time you're recognizing, because it's not going to go away, but next time you're recognizing that you're expecting the worst, think about those kids in Japan. Think about what could